Okay, I don't, okay, I am on. Hallelujah. So I have Kara to help me if my mic falls down. So she's my assistant today. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. It's new every day. And I thank you, Lord, that you are with each one of us. And I ask, Lord, that you would just open up our eyes to see and our ears to hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. My message is titled, Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And Kara, the music you picked out, I mean, it fits with what I'm going to say today. And we never discussed it. So Holy Spirit is very good to us. Something is wrong when the streets are full of protesters and rioters, but the churches are empty. Scripture admonishes us in Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Thanksgiving and praising God are important weapons in the good fight of faith. We are living in the last days. God has deemed us worthy to be part of his end time army. We have all the tools we need in the Word of God. Psalms 119:105 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We know that life and death are in the power of the tongue, so that what we say is very important. And verses 171 through 172 of the same psalm says, may my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all of your commands are righteous. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will continuously be in my mouth. Psalms 34:1 tells us, praise directs our focus back onto the Lord and off of ourselves. Music has always been a vital expression of honor and thanksgiving to God. We sing about him because he is the Lord of song. I don't know if you ever thought about that. You know, if you just look at the Psalms, there's a whole bunch of songs that we sing. So that is good. He gives us the songs. And in Psalms 42:8, it says, by day the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. He is the one about whom we sing. And we need to remember we're not just singing, we are worshiping. That is, you know, I was told once that worshiping God is like a kiss. You're kissing the Father. You're kissing the Son. So that is, you know, to me, very, very special. And so we must also thank him. Let me take a moment to share a few portions of Psalms 107, starting with the verse 1 and 2. Because it tells us, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. So who's the foe? You know, we sometimes blame people, but we have to remember there's a dark spiritual force that comes, and that's the foe. The enemy is the foe. So let us the redeemed tell others what Jesus has done for us. And then verses 10 through 14. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in chains. For they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So this is the who I was before, when I was trying to do everything in my own strength without God. But now I'm redeemed. Praise God. And then in verse 13, it goes on, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, and he broke their chains. This affirms that we must trust God when all indications are to the contrary. And we really know this firsthand this past month. Don't forget that Jesus saved you and he broke every chain. Luke 18:27 tells us that what is impossible with man is possible with God. So we don't give up, do we? Praise and thanksgiving are like an insulating garment protecting us. And going on in Psalm 107, verse starting at verse 20 through 22, this brings hope and comfort. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. And this psalm closes with a message of hope in verses 41 through 43. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families and like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Good, right? Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Consider the love of the Lord. The Lord Jesus will be recounted around the world when God's people are thankful in their task. Paul, addressing the church in Rome, said in Romans 1:8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is reported all over the world. We as members of the Christ Church are called to be his witnesses, both in word and deed. My little helper is helping me now. It fell off completely. Thank you. Jesus is the only one who can set us free. What has the Lord redeemed you from? Or set you free from? The song goes, Jesus is the answer for the world today. What has he done for you? Do you remember what Jesus told us in John 10:10? The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But what does Jesus say he does? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God is light, and in him there is no darkness, light only. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We are also told to be salt, the seasoning that causes others to want what we have. We are the light in this world. Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18 reminds us, and we, with unveiled face, all reflect the Lord's glory. are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Don is going to give a small testimony. Kara, can you bring him a mic? Is that possible? So he don't have to go so far. You know, even in your darkest moment, the Lord, through his Spirit, does the work. Because you are still reflecting the light, even though you don't even know it.
God is always there. And if you let your light shine, someone's going to notice. And I had a young nurse that came in. And she kind of
hold your mic higher, hon.
She was in my room as often as she could because the Spirit of the Lord is there. And we got to talking about the Lord. And she said, you know, she says, God don't want me. Yes, he does. I said, God, don't make junk. I said, he knew you before you were. But she says, you don't understand. She says, I was very promiscuous. And she said, I had a baby out of wedlock. And she said, my dad says, I don't deserve having kids. And I says, you do. And I asked her where she went to church, and she told me. And I said, you know, all we have to do in our life is look at Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. And Jesus says, your sins I remember no more. And she says, yeah, but she says, I can't live with that. I says, you're harder on yourself than the Lord is, because he forgot about him. And I had a chance to continue sharing with her about Jesus. She accepted, and we had just a good visit and talk. She was just getting ready to get off for her duty. And I got the biggest hug and tears you could ever ask for. So God is good all the time. No matter what the circumstances or where you're at, he can always use you. Just be a light and be willing.
So in order to fight the good fight of faith, we must be filled with the Spirit. It's vital, like the breath in our lungs. The enemy tries to steal our breath, our natural breath, as well as our spiritual. I think I just lost it. Did I? Okay. I guess we'll have to just do it this way. We'll leave it right there. I don't know. Okay, so the deceiver wants to come with the lie that speaking in tongues is not important. It's not necessary for a Christ-filled life. The devil was a liar from the beginning. He doesn't want you to use this powerful weapon. You know, there's the Holy Spirit has come to help us and to fill us and to pray those wonderful prayers through us when we can't do it anymore. Let me ask you a question. What do you do in a crisis? When you've quoted every scripture and prayed every prayer that you know how to pray, what do you do when you're worn out, fighting the battle in your own strength, your own power? What do you do then? Do you give up? Do you quit? Or do you give the Holy Spirit access to pray perfect prayers through your own mouth, your own tongue? Why did the Father send his Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, on that wonderful day of Pentecost when the 120 believers were filled with the power and authority that Jesus promised would come. Jesus promised to send a helper, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside us and empowers us to stand no matter what we're going through. He empowers us to stand. The promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, baptizes us with power from on high. Jesus said that he was going back to heaven to prepare a place for his wonderful bride, the pure and spotless church, who was bought and paid for with his precious blood. If we are that precious to the Father, that he would give his one and only Son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for our sin and rebellion, if we are that precious to him, won't he carry us through every trial if we just trust him and know him? God's word protects our mind, and it protects our hearts as we give thanks to the Lord. Philippians 4:4-7 encourages us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious for anything. By prayers and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You have no idea how powerful just that one scripture is. You know, stand on it. Have hope. James 1:17 reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Thanksgiving brings supernatural results. You know, there's many examples in Scripture about giving thanks. I'm just going to share a couple. You remember when Jesus lifted up the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to heaven to give thanks to his Father before feeding the 5,000 men along with the women and children who had followed him to a desolate place? Giving thanks is a spiritual force. While standing in the midst of battle, thank him for the answer. Thank God by faith to take your stand for the outcome of the trial before you ever see the answer. Thank him in advance. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hoped for and certain of what we do not see. So that saying right there, you give him thanks before you have your outcome. And verse 6 goes on to say, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It doesn't mean that it happens immediately. Every step is a step of faith. Praise and thanksgiving put teeth in your faith in the midst of the trial. This helps you activate your faith and keep your faith focused on the end result. Practice your faith. Thank God for the victory in the midst. You know, that's not easy. It's not easy. See with the eyes of faith. See the answer. Speaking in faith and thanksgiving with prayer is like a battering ram against the enemy. Picture an army of bad people or good people, whichever you're thinking of right now, pounding on this heavy, heavy wood door. And every time they ram it, you know, it gives. And that is what faith and thanksgiving does to the enemy. It's a battering ram. Every time you hit that problem, it goes a little further. Think your way out of the attack of the devil. Be excited. It encourages you. He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. The word of God with thanksgiving brings force to the door of deliverance. Let me share just one more example in Acts 16, 22 through 34. When Paul and Silas were in prison, starting with verse 22 in chapter 16. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in an inner cell and fastened their feet with stocks. Well, I'm thinking an inner cell means no window. It also means hardly no breath. I'm going to put it that way. So they were whipped. They had their clothes. They were completely stripped and beaten. You know, when their feet were locked in stocks, so they couldn't even move. In spite of what happened, in spite of the pain, what did they do at midnight? Verse 25 says, and on says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and he set a meal before them. He was filled with joy. He had believed in God, he and his whole household. So what were the effects of their praise and thanksgiving in spite of their circumstances? Number one, as they worshiped God, the other prisoners listened. So what you do matters to others. Number two, thanksgiving activated the earthquake. Their praise and thanksgiving brought supernatural results. Number three, the prison doors opened and the chains were loosed for everyone. Deliverance came for all. Our praise and thanksgiving affects those around us more than we will ever realize. Number four, no one left the prison. That in itself is supernatural. I think today everybody run out as fast as they could. Number five, because of their faith, the jailer wanted to be saved. People will want what you have in Christ Jesus. It brings opportunity for salvation to those around you. Your testimony matters. And it's not like you have to know chapter and verse. It's just seasoning your talk or whatever you're doing with scripture in your own language. It doesn't have to be, you know, I'll just give you a crazy example. I had a neighbor next door who really didn't know the Lord. And we just talked through her chain link fence all the time. And one day she was running herself down, saying she was, you know, probably just gonna die. She's getting older. I said, don't let stuff like that come out of your mouth. I said, that's not from God. He wants you to have a long life. And I just shared, you know, little bits and pieces. And she must have shared it with a neighbor across the street who wasn't a church person, whose husband had died, who she didn't know anybody to do a service. And because of my neighbor across the fence, I did the service. Because the testimony led from one thing to another thing to another thing. You have no idea how a little thing can make a big difference. And number six, he and his whole family believed. They were baptized, and they were filled with joy. Now give thanks, glory, and honor to the Lord. Remember that what God has already brought you through. I have a little thing here I want you to do with me. Would you please repeat after me so it gets into your head and into your heart? Okay, what you brought me through in victory before, you will do it again. Okay, let's do it just one more time so it sticks. What you brought me through in victory before, you will do it again. You remember, he is behind the scenes. He's going to work it all out. What is your greatest concern right now? Is it finances, healing, deliverance, family members who need salvation? We know the answer is coming, and we can be thankful for a successful outcome in this situation. And I heard this line after I had finished my, you know, work. My hobby, or if you want to call it that, I love preaching, so I listen to it all the time. I have to literally stop myself. But Mylon Lefevre, I don't know if you've heard of him. He is a singer and found Jesus years and years ago. And he has fought great battles, including cancer. And he said, what you believe becomes your reality. Keep God's word in your mouth. So our praise and thanksgiving settles it. The body and blood of Jesus has delivered us. Nothing is impossible with God. Jesus is the answer. Release your faith. Okay, got one more activity for you. I want you to say this. I am not moved by what I see. I thank you in advance. And I thank you, Lord, that it is done. I am not moved by the circumstances. Okay, one more time to get it into your heart. I am not moved by what I see. I thank you in advance. And I thank you, Lord, that it is done. I am not moved by circumstances. Thank you for participating. Remember, Praise stops and stills the enemy. Praise God for the answer. Thank him for his word, his covenant with us. There is a song of thanks I would like to close with, and the chorus says, and I want this to be a prayer for us. Thank you, Jesus, you set me free. Christ, my Savior, you rescued me. You saved my life. You opened my eyes. I love you, Lord. You entered my heart. You set me apart. I love you, Lord. Christ, my Savior, you rescued me. Did you find the song at all?